Chapter 25. With the Armada's rotation, the distal ends of several tentacles had whipped themselves into ensnaring loops. Starfighters trapped in the loops twisted and swerved to avoid scudding coral skippers, but they were fast running out of maneuvering room. The overwhelmed deflector shields of Jaina's X-Wing were barely viable, and Cappy was probably beyond repair. Each tongue of plasma or missile of molten rock landed like a punch. Despite the harnesses that fastened her to the padded seat, she was flung like an insect trapped in a shaking bottle. Singularities yawned to all sides, ready to swallow anything she launched, but that hardly mattered, since the starfighter's fire control computer had yet to shed enough heat to come back online. A numbing explosion jolted the ship. Jaina glanced out the right side of the triangular canopy to see the mated ends of the starboard S-foils disintegrate and the laser cannon go whirling off into space. The power of the blast sent the starfighter into a wing-over-wing roll that the fusial thrusters and attitude jets were unable to correct. Flights of coral skippers pinwheeled in front of her, and fireballs geysered inward on spiraling trajectories. The out-of-control tumble reeled her out of a follow-up deluge of plasma from the core formation of capital ships. The E-Wings took the brunt of it, along with IJIX Harona's scimitar squadron of highly vulnerable A-Wings and Gavin's Rogues. Caught by the inferno, 24 craft were blown clear of the tentacles, half of them vanishing before they reached clear space. Farther out, Star Destroyers and attack cruisers raced alongside the Armada, but with so many starfighters churning between them and the enemy war vessels, they couldn't risk firing without destroying countless Alliance craft. Jaina's flailing right hand found the inertial compensator and dialed it to maximum. As the cockpit instruments came back into focus, she saw that the display screens were white with noise. The battle net was unadulterated static. "Around a bearing, ecliptic." Jaina tweaked the comm controls to find a clearer frequency. "On squadron leaders and withdraw." Withdraw, Jaina thought. Fine for those pilots who could, but scores of fighters were incapacitated, many in worse shape than Twin Suns One. Only by virtue of their marginally intact shields were they bearing up under the constant barrage. Like barb rollers curled on the floor against repeated kicks from gangs of opponents. "Dovan Basel's singularities have been diverted to the forefront of the Armada," Alliance Control was saying. "Destroyers will be attacking the flanks in an attempt to induce the Dovan Basels to shift focus so that Harbinger, Guardian, and Viscount can resume fire. All pilots, try to maintain formation on withdrawal. Rally at 661 Ecliptic with battle groups Iceberg 3 and 4. By then the Armada had moved well past the system's captured comet and was bearing toward Sep Elipor, a ringed gas giant with more than 30 small moons. Auxiliary battle groups in advance of the tentacled cluster were already beginning to disperse, in part to deflect the battle from Mon Calamari itself, but also to convey the impression that the Alliance had recognized that it was outmatched and was on the run, determined to save as many of its ships as possible. A third surge of plasma spewed from the Armada core. Jaina called on the exhausted thrusters to propel the X-Wing out of its tumble and through a broad bank. At the same time, she reset the inertial compensator and got her bearings. She was still inside the kill circle of coral skippers and pickets, but Chiss Clawcraft and X-Wings were hammering away at the slowly contracting perimeter, creating exit holes for the trapped starfighters. Jaina saw Jag's Clawcraft destroy 3 coral skippers in a blur of corkscrewing maneuvers and laser fire. She sent him silent gratitude. With firing zones opening once more, bombers followed the rescued starfighters into the gaps they fashioned. In response, coral skippers were commanding their Dovan Basels to deploy defensive voids to counter the infiltration. No sooner did the gravitic anomalies shift, however, than Harbinger and Guardian strobed salvos of ranged weapons fire against the least defended of the tentacles. Coral skippers were lanced and vaporized, pickets fractured and cracked open like seed pods, expressing puffs of atmosphere and more. Free of the enclosing tentacle at last, Jaina searched for the rest of her squadron. Twin Suns 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 were nearby, but she had no means of communicating with them. She reached out with the Force for Lobaka, Alimarar, Octa Ramus, and the Wild Knights, hoping that they would be able to interpret her distress call and relay her message. But it was Jag who arrived. Twin Sun's X-Wings were suddenly forming up on Jag's clawcraft, and he in turn was leading them to her. The fighting was the most intense at the perimeter of the fluttering tentacles. Alliance frigates and corvettes were trading fusillades with Yuuzhan Vong escort vessels and cruiser analogs, Matalocks, opening dozens of new fronts along the flanks of the cluster. Starfighters and coral skippers pursued one another through blinding volleys of fire as the capital ships continued their long-distance duels. Even so, the armada managed to maintain its Yamisk shape. Then, without warning, three groups of enemy war vessels peeled away from the core, carrying countless coral skipper tentacles with them. It was as if the Yamisk had undergone mitosis. Jaina considered briefly that the Yuuzhan Vong had decided to divide the battle into separate arenas. Instead, the coral skippers of the newly created flotilla began to return to the waiting arms of their carriers in a kind of reverse deployment. Three battle groups have detached from the main cluster, Alliance Control reported over the battle channel. Coral skippers are withdrawing, monitoring the new cluster for possible micro-jump to Mon Calamari. Primary planetary defense is at code red, with all shields raised. Iceberg 3 attack squadrons will regroup and stand by for jump coordinates. Jaina watched the smaller of the two clusters streak sunward and disappear. Enemy secondary has jumped, waiting for verification of hyperspace vector. Jaina's breath caught in her throat. If the new cluster jumped directly to Mon Calamari. Iceberg 3 attack squadrons are reformed and in position. Jaina waited in her crippled ship. Time seemed to drag out, even while the battle continued to rage around her. Then the voice of control returned. Vector confirmed. Secondary flotilla has jumped for the Perlemian trade route. Holonet transceiver ships at Quermia transit point are under attack. Primary flotilla is accelerating for Sep Elipor and Mon Eron. All starfighter wings regroup. Out of the fight, Jaina pivoted the X-Wing to starboard in an effort to observe the reformation of the scattered squadrons. Twin Sun's survivors were flying with Rogue Squadron, and Black Moon and Scimitar were similarly mingled. Vanguard was down to 6 clawcraft, but Jag was still leading them. She sent him luck as the fighter wing streaked off to re-engage. Then she coaxed what life she could from the damaged fusil engines and crippled shields and followed him. Under guard of 6 warriors who could barely stay on their feet, Team Malok, including Han, had been herded into the Yamisk chamber and left there to marinate in Blorash jelly while the female Shaper and the cadre of Slayers departed Kalula. From deeper inside the Minshal had come the sounds of at least 3 craft lifting out of their berthing spaces. An hour had passed since then, and something strange was beginning to happen to the Blorash jelly. Though it had held everyone fast when they had first been thrown into it, the jelly was losing viscosity. When it liquefied to the point that Leia could sit upright, she immediately started to crawl on hands and knees toward Han, who had been returning slowly to consciousness the whole while. The first words out of his mouth were, "What stinks?" Leia ignored the question and clamped her arms around his chest, hugging him to her. He blinked, stretched his eyelids open, blinked some more, and began to glance around. "You're getting Blorash all over us." Leia put her face close to his. "Just my way of making sure we stay together, no matter what else happens." "Welcome back to the fun," Paige yelled from across the chamber. Han raised his right hand in a curt wave to the captain, Kip, Raw, and Malok, who were more or less sitting up in the adhesive pool. He cut his eyes back to Leia. "You want to tell me about the what-else part?"
"Commander Malik Kar plans to sacrifice us to the Yamisk."
Han looked past Leia to the circular Yorick coral basin that housed the creature, then beetled his eyebrows in uncertainty. "Malik Kar."
"From the Peace Brigade convoy," Leia said. "The one who promised Judder that, well, that something like this would happen." Han grimaced. Could be worse. I mean, at least we're away from those blasted flitnats. Leia shook her head at him in a tolerant manner.
It doesn't take you long to get back into character, does it?
Hey, I know this role by heart. He smiled weakly, then grew serious. But tell me something. How come I'm supposed to be dead, and instead all I've got is numb lips, a sore throat, and a headache?
We're not sure, but the reason has something to do with Kalula.
They picked the wrong planet to occupy, Raw said, moving toward them. His fur rippled in a kind of delight.
Everything's sick, Leia went on. Not just the winged stars. Everything here. The warriors, the dilating membranes, even the Slayer's amphistaffs. Which means that their venom is probably also weakened.
Slayers?
The enhanced warriors.
Han nodded. No wonder they were able to take us like they did. His eyes snapped open as if he had just recalled something. Sasso, Furfur.
Dead, Leia said, almost swallowing the word.
Han hung his head, then stiffened in her embrace.
Where are our weapons?
Leia stretched out her arm.
There.
Han followed her forefinger to where the weapons had been dumped in a heap on the far side of the chamber, close to where half a dozen Yuuzhan Vong guards were either dozing or passed out. Every weapon, including the two lightsabers, was smeared with red blood, perhaps fresh from Sasso and Furfur.
If this Blorash keeps liquefying at the same rate, Leia said, we should be free in no time.
She barely got the sentence out when Malik Kar shuffled into the chamber, accompanied by two ordinary warriors and a priest. The six sleeping warriors woke up and attempted to come to attention, but most of them were too weak to stand, let alone snap their fists in salute. Their amphistaffs sprawled sluggishly beside them. Stay where you are, Kar commanded, as the pair of warriors who braced him lowered him to a shallow step that encircled the Yamask basin. Seeming to sense the commander, the Yamask itself stirred, extending two tentacles over the rim of the basin and resting the tips on Kar's horned shoulders. The tentacles were a sickly shade of green and covered with large blisters. Kar caressed one of them. Breathing laboriously, the priest picked up one of the military blasters and handed it to Kar, who, with some effort, squeezed off a bolt into the domed ceiling.
Still functioning, as you appear to be, he said in basic, gazing at his captives. His filmed eyes focused on Paige. And I thought Selvaris a terrible place. You've no obligation to tell me, Captain, but what is it that is peculiar to this cursed world that has brought illness and death upon us?
Paige shook his head in ignorance. Maybe the insects we call winged stars, but a lot of the ones we saw were also dead or dying. So are Kalula's flitnats.
Something about their deaths, then, Kar mused. If that's true, Captain, then you will have a powerful weapon to use against us. Although I heard rumor of one such weapon that affected our warriors on Garki.
Pollen, Raw answered for Paige. The product of a semi-sentient tree from a world you destroyed.
Ithor.
Kar struggled to make sense of it.
Is there some relationship between those trees and the winged star insects?
No, Malok said.
Kar inhaled raggedly.
I'm dying, he said in disbelief. Neither in battle nor honorably, but of disease. Life turned against other life. It is something unknown to us, because we are symbiotic with all life. Our biotes, our weapons, our foodstuffs. We don't die of disease or of starvation. Many of us live three times as long as the human species in this galaxy. And yet, we have been felled by another living thing.
He almost grinned. Yun Harla is either laughing or outraged. Who can tell anymore? I suppose I should take some measure of comfort in the fact that I will see all of you die first. But somehow, the fight has gone out of me. You are infidels,
Yes, you are ignorant and primitive, and you have chosen to consort with machines as if they were living beings. But though I pity you for that, I no longer hate you for it. However, you do need to die, if only on the off chance that your sacrifices will persuade the gods to spare the life of our war coordinator.
He turned slightly and lifted his gaze as if to the Yamask.
Are you even capable of directing a flight of coral skippers? I think not, poor creature, but I know that, like me, you will die trying.
The priest groaned in pain, doubled over, and collapsed on the floor. The six guards also appeared to have died. Thud bugs crept from the warrior's bandoliers and expired. Leia realized that the Blorash had lost all of its binding qualities. The entire place seemed to be dying at the same time. The Yamask issued an ear-splitting screech of agony. Its tentacles flailed for several seconds, then the bloated beast bobbed lifelessly to the surface of the agitated pool. Malik Kar hauled himself to his feet and lifted one of the amphistaffs, which hung over his hand like a length of rope.
As docile as a mascot.
He looked at Paige.
You have won the day, Captain. I salute you.
The commander toppled like a tree. Paige lifted himself from the jelly and hurried over to him. Kip and Malok clambered onto the step to regard the Yamask.
It's dead,
Malok pronounced. A sudden commotion broke out in the antechamber. Kip and Leia called their lightsabers to them, activating the blades while Paige and Raw hastened for the blasters. Hello, a voice called out. Into the basin room walked Lando Calrissian, Talon Card, and Shada Dukal, wearing armor-ply combat suits, white helmets, and knee-high boots, and armed with lightweight blaster rifles. Lando's bipedal YVH-1-1A droid brought up the rear. The hero of Tanab brought his fingertips to his brow in an informal salute. Kip, Captain Paige. He flashed his bright trademark smile at Malok. Sorry, I haven't had the pleasure.
Malok, she told him. Agent Raw, the Bothan said curtly, clearly vexed by the trio's sudden appearance.
Leia stared at them in astonishment.
What in the galaxy?
Leia, so good to see you, Lando said. We just wanted to show that the Smugglers' Alliance has more to offer than hunter-killer mouse droids.
Booster, Mirax, and Krev Bombasa send their regards.
Errant Venture is here,
she said, referring to Booster Tarek's personal Star Destroyer. Card nodded.
We came prepared to fight a war.
What's the situation upside? Paige asked. Peaceful. We only had to deal with a small skip carrier and a couple of patrol craft.
Patrol craft, Paige said.
Kalula was supposed to be a major staging area for Mon Calamari.
Lando nodded. That's what we thought.
He glanced at Han. Booster's not too happy having expended so much fuel on a mission Wildcard could have handled. In fact, we would have been here sooner if we hadn't ended up in a firefight with the Peace Brigaders at the spaceport.
The Brigaders are all right? Healthy?
Malok asked.
Healthy enough to have delayed us, Card said. Momentarily, that is.
Leia showed Han a skeptical look.
You knew about this.
He shrugged.
I didn't trust this whole operation from the start. I figured we'd been compromised somehow, so I wanted to make sure we had backup. Sorry I didn't tell you.
That's against orders, Solo, Raw said harshly. So bring me up on charges when we get back to Mon Calamari. Don't think I won't try. Lando glanced from the Bothan to Han. Has it been this way from the start?
Pretty much.
Lando watched Han struggle to his feet. Are you all right, Han?
He was bitten by an amphistaff whose venom wasn't working, Kip said.
Lando glanced at Malik Kar, the priest, and the warriors.
We've seen this everywhere we've been, at the spaceport, in the streets. What's going on?
Paige gestured to the Yuuzhan Vong.
They caught something, and not just the warriors, the Yamask, the weapons.
Oh, no, Kip interrupted in a tone of tragic realization.
Oh, no.
Blood rushed from his face, and his expression turned grim. I know what happened here. I probably knew from the moment we saw the crashed coral skipper, but I didn't want to believe it. He looked at everyone. And may the Force help all of us if I'm right.